The Sunday school teachers are attempting to kidnap a young lady. Okay. I trust everybody had a good Thanksgiving. But there's that little three-letter word. Thanksgiving is not over. Well, we may not have to cook any more turkeys and dressing and cranberry and mashed potatoes and gravy, green bean casserole and all the stuff that goes with it. To the Christian, Thanksgiving is a perpetual holiday. It takes place every day. There was a verse in Philippians that my wife memorized years ago. Philippians 4:6. And I'd like to read Philippians 4:6-7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Every day we should be giving thanks to God. When is it enough to give thanks to God? It never is. Every day he does something for us. Can we ever be too thankful to the one who loves, cares, and provides for his children? I don't think so. Recently, there have been times when just expressing thanks is seemingly not enough. If someone has given you a gift that you cannot give back, or you cannot give equal. You know, we feel like if somebody takes you out to dinner or to lunch, you got to reciprocate. And that's not always true, folks. There are people who want to just be friends. And they want to take you out because they love you. And they want you to enjoy their company. And if somebody's buying me a ribeye steak, I'll enjoy their company. At least I'll try to. I hope that you and I are consistent in our giving of thanks to God, as well as to the people around us. Because God is using them to be a blessing to you, to all of us. I hope that we each spend time thinking about how to better express our thanks to God. He never gets tired of hearing our thanks. He uses the people in our lives to reach out to us and meet needs that we all have. He does. And it's important that we say thanks. I don't believe that Thanksgiving ends when the turkey runs out. Thanksgiving becomes a permanent part of us the moment that we get saved. The moment that you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, Gratitude should have filled this thing we call a heart. And forever, till we breathe our last breath, we should be grateful to God for doing that. Look at the price he paid. His son, Jesus Christ. When I encounter a Christian, a person who says they're a Christian, who is not grateful, I wonder, are they really saved? I don't believe that a Christian can ever pray to God without thanksgiving. That's a good way to start. Even if the plea is, help me, God, the next word should be, thank you for what you're going to do for me. I take note that when we started out with Philippians 4, and there are so many other places in Scripture where thanksgiving is evident, 2 or Colossians 2, 6 and 7 says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We talked about faith in Sunday school and how we can have faith, how we can show our faith, how we can experience faith. And faith is to be experienced, folks. It is. It is to be experienced. It is not something that is just casual. We set it on the shelf till we need it. No. Faith is every day, every minute. Faith that you are where God wants you to be. Faith that you are doing what God wants you to do. And if you can't have that, there's something wrong. You see the last words of the verses in Colossians? Let me read that again. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. That's a great way to go through life. Not bitter. Not critical. Oh, I didn't want a brand new Chevrolet. I wanted a brand new Cadillac. God is going to give you everything that you not just need, but more. He talks about abundance. When I prayed for the offering a few minutes ago, God pours into our lives abundance. He doesn't say, well, you know, you've eaten a little too much for Thanksgiving. Here's a soda cracker for lunch. God, everything that God does for us, he does in abundance. And he expects us to abound with thanksgiving. And that means that there's supposed to be a lot of thanksgiving going on, no matter what is happening. You know, the person, if I hear a Christian constantly complaining, they're destroying their testimony. Really? A lot of people don't think about that. They complain about this, or they complain about that, or they criticize this and that. Their testimony is just going in the dumpster. A Christian should always be thankful, always, for whatever God does to them and with them. The Christian is commanded by God to abound with thanksgiving. And when God commands something, it's not a suggestion. It's a command. The Psalms are full of thanksgiving to the Lord. When you think about the Psalms, the people of God at that time in history, think about it. They didn't have a Savior. Do you know how fortunate you are to have a Savior? I have not seen one of you bring an ox to that back door and cut its throat. If you were a Jew, that's the only way that you can get rid of your sin. Well, you can bring a goat or a lamb, but it's going to be messy. So you think about those who wrote the Psalms. They didn't have a Savior. They had to offer a living animal for their sin whenever they wanted it forgiven. Now, if you had a bad week, every week you had to bring something. It would walk with you to the back door of the temple. It didn't walk away because you killed it right there. Yeah, we don't think about all that they had to do. And yet, the writer of most of the Psalms is giving thanks to God for the blessings that he was pouring out for them. Psalm 95:2 says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Let us come before God with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Now, I'll tell you, ladies, something, and this is not to encourage you, but simply a statement of fact. I really enjoy on Wednesday nights, before Bible study, when you ladies get together and sing Christmas carols. I love to hear you singing. You know what that expresses? Joy in the heart. Joy in the heart. And it's a blessing to me to hear someone singing a psalm or a hymn. Not this stuff they call music. It goes boom, 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 boom. This joyful noise, that's what the Lord said we were supposed to offer, is a joyful noise. Now, that means that all of you ladies can sing. Okay? Even if you can't carry a tune in a bucket, it's still okay. It's a joyful noise. All right? So I want to hear more singing from Berkeley. You're making a joyful noise, and that's what God has said that you should do. You're praising his name with song and thanksgiving. Psalm 69:30 says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. What a combination. A song and thanksgiving. What a blessing. I've always thought of thanksgiving as a responsibility to God, not necessarily a sacrifice on our part, but God sees it a little differently. Psalm 116:17 says, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Did you ever think of Thanksgiving as a sacrifice? Something that you offer to God. Remember the Jews, what kind of a sacrifice they had to offer? We don't have to do that. That's one reason we can give thanks, is because he saved us by letting his son die in our place. And we can thank him for that, once a month. No, every day. We should thank him every day. Saying thanks sometimes is too easily done. God wants to know that there's sincerity behind the words. If a person offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving, particular actions are required. And offering should be sacrifice. And it should be done in a particular sequence. Thanksgiving is not sincere if there is no offering to accompany the act. Let me say that again. Thanksgiving is not sincere if there is not an offering to accompany the act. Think about that. What kind of an offering can we give in the way of thanks? You know what we can give? We can give our love. We can give genuine, real love. And you know who we're supposed to give that to? Him. Yeah. How do you love God? You can't touch him. You can't see him. But you know what? You know how you can love God? You can love him by loving him and her and other people. Loving them for God. And when you love them for God, you're going to try and bring them to God, so they can meet him and know who it is that you are honoring. That's the offering that should go with our thanksgiving. Now, God gave the Jews an offering called a thanksgiving sacrifice. And I'd like us just to look at that for a minute. It's in the book of Leviticus, near the front of the Bible, chapter 7, Leviticus 7, verses 12 through 15. Leviticus 7, 12 through 15. And it tells us, if he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. And of it he shall offer one of the whole oblation for an heave offering unto the Lord, and it shall be the priest that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offerings and the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until morning. This tells me, this is an Old Testament law. The Jews had to do it. The offering that had to go with it, blood. The sacrifice of an animal at the door of the temple. We don't have to do that. The flesh that we have to offer is us. Us. If we're truly thankful, we will offer ourselves, our love, and with love. Can you prove that you love somebody? You can. But what does it take? It takes giving. That's why a man and a woman, when they unite in marriage, most of the time each give a ring as a symbol of their love. And when you give thanks to someone, you can give your love to that person as an offering. You are giving of yourself, even if it's just a prayer. Thank you, God, for that person. They love me. They gave me something. God, give them something back. Give them a blessing that they might need. Something that they can use. Bless them spiritually. May they experience the Holy Spirit within their heart, whelming up in joy and love and just put them on a mountaintop someplace. That's thanksgiving, folks. That's offering the sacrifice with the thanksgiving. And that's how we prove we love somebody. That was necessary here when they would give a thanksgiving sacrifice to God. There was a certain order in the way you did things. And you know what? You didn't wait till the next time you saw the person. You did it right then. And when you give thanks to a person, you're supposed to do it quickly. When we give thanks, we're supposed to, it's supposed to be in our heart and just wells out. And that is so different to our society today. Every once in a while, I will shock a lady. I'll hold the door open for her. Oh my, is that for me? I tell her there's still a few of us around. I love to watch these teenagers go in front of their parents and just let the door go. It happens. I've watched it happen time and time and time again. They're not grateful. We're supposed to have an attitude of gratitude all the time. God's put it within our heart. And if you know Jesus Christ, you're going to have that. Whether you want it or not, it's going to be there. And it's going to continually flow out of your life. Now, we just read the law that God gave the Jew for giving thanks. And there are several details in this that are included in the sacrifice that you and I can make application of. And I'd like us to do that. Even though we don't have to sacrifice an animal or we don't have Thanksgiving offerings as such, Jesus has come and brought us from the bought us from the Old Testament law, so we don't have to do that anymore. I noticed that effort was made to produce the necessary cakes to go into the offering by the Jew. It required effort on the one offering the thanks. The thanksgiving doesn't come from the mouth. Thanksgiving does not come from the mouth. Thanksgiving is supposed to come from the heart. And if it doesn't, I would imagine that every one of you, I've started to say, I'll bet every one of you, Baptists don't bet. But I would imagine every one of you has had someone say thank you to you who didn't really mean it. Oh, thanks, Mom, for the socks for Christmas. I really would have rather had a puppy. True thanksgiving doesn't come from the mouth. It must come from the heart, and it must come with a measure of love. With a measure of love. Thanks, honey, for doing my laundry. To those of you who have a mate, thanks, honey, for fixing supper. Thanks, honey, for shoveling out the living room. It needed vacuuming. We show each other when we have a chance that we love them by doing things for them. That's how we do it. We do things for each other. The Christian must always be thankful to God for all that he's doing for them. God would never intentionally hurt his children. When things come your way that you don't like, when things come into your life that you don't want to be a part of your life, but they come in anyway, God permits it. Sometimes God orchestrates it because it's exactly what we need. And so God would never hurt intentionally his children. Somebody in Sunday school mentioned Romans 8:28 this morning. I think it was Shirley. And what does it say? And it says, and we know, not just here, we know in our hearts that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I know we're not supposed to revise scripture, and I wouldn't do that, but that verse would be just as effective if we were to say, we know all things work together for love. That's what it is, people. That's what makes all the difference. That's why Christmas is supposed to be such a special time. And you know, there's a lot of organizations that take advantage of it. Any of you not received a request for some kind of a contribution? Police Association, Firemen's Association, Veterans Administration. I mean, they just, Christmas time, they know our hearts are supposed to be tender. They don't realize that our wallets are already empty. Okay. The Christian must always be thankful to God for what he's doing. 2 Corinthians 4:15 tells us, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many abound to the glory of God." Let me read that again. "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God." We should give God thanks when he gives you something. I should give thanks for you. When I see him blessing you in your life, I should give thanks for that, and I do. Because that's what we're commanded to do. As your brothers and sisters in Christ see God blessing you, their love for you will bless them as you give God the glory. Second Corinthians 9, 11 and 12, "Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God." Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. "For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings to God." We should be thanking God all day long. All day long. Because he is blessing us all day long. Every day. Not just Sunday, not just Wednesday night. Based on these two verses, we should be giving thanks to God for everything he is doing in our lives. Has he given you a job? Does he get you to work? Yeah, we should be thanking him for that. I can't help but feel that God does not get enough thanksgiving. Thanksgiving should come with love for the giver, and in this case, God is the one who does the giving. God has given you everything you have. Did you have to walk to church this morning? No. You drove. God gave you that car. He even put gas in the tank. God gives you everything you've got. If you got someone you love, that you can love, that's a gift from God. God is love. He has put someone in your path that you can love on. Don't you love him for that? Oh, God is so good. He does so much for us. Do you dread starting this week ahead? I don't. I'm looking forward to whatever God's going to do this week. He's going to do something for you. He's going to bless you in some way. He's going to provide for you in many different ways. And you'll be able to thank him. We're told in Revelation a little bit more about this. Let's look at it. It's the activity that's going to be taking place. It hasn't happened yet. Revelation, this is future. Revelation 7, 9 through 17. Let me read this. This is a fairly long passage, but it goes towards this Thanksgiving idea. "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne." You're going to be there if you know Jesus. "And before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and psalms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and they fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered unto me, saying, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said to him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. As you sit here this morning, have you washed your robe in the blood of the Lamb? Are you expecting a white robe waiting for you when you get to heaven? Then you're going to be standing before the throne with this crowd, singing, praising, thanking God. Might as well get used to it now. That's what you're going to be doing when you get to heaven. Verse 15, therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. He shall lead them into living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. What a thing to look forward to. Now, you who are young or younger, you may not appreciate what this is saying. You've still got plans. You plan to be around for a while. You plan to do some things. And it's okay. God expects you to do that. Those of us who are a little older, we're looking forward to this. Because there's a lot of people who have gone on before us. Some very special people. And one day, we're going to put on that white robe when we shed this body of flesh. And we're going to be with Jesus and with our loved ones there before the throne of God, praising him. And it talks about it here in the 7th chapter of Revelation. And God is going to wipe away any tears from our eyes. Do you think that you will be thankful for what God is going to do for all his children? Do you anticipate being thankful? I do. We all know that we're supposed to love God, and some of us even try to live like we love him. But we seem to love people more than God sometimes, and I find it difficult to experience a similar kind of love that I have for some people. It's so much easier to love somebody you can put your arms around. Someone that you can kiss. Someone that you can do things for. And yet you can do things for him. He's given you that opportunity, and he opens up new opportunities every day for you. And as you do those things for him, you are loving him. And that's why we should always be thankful. I know that I love him, but sometimes I keep getting in the way of loving him the way I would like to. I can't speak for you, but I want to be able to take the time to sit and contemplate what I might do to show God how much I love him. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever sat there and think, okay, God, what can I do for you that will show you I love you? And it's not necessarily eating a meal. Or in my case, sugar-free chocolate-covered almonds. Okay. Do something for him. Tell somebody about him. Show them that you love him more than they can ever imagine. Some of us seem to be staying so busy for the Lord that it causes us to feel like we're not doing as much as we should. And that's what I would consider a failure. I don't want to be a failure for God. I want to succeed for him. I want to be thankful to God for letting me serve him. I hope you do too. Because you should be. He doesn't need us. When I was 14, I worked for an old blacksmith out in the country. He had been a blacksmith shoeing horses and things, and when horse went by the wayside and tractors came out, he opened a welding shop called Hartway's Welding. And at 14, I went to work for him, learning to weld. And sometimes, instead of his doing the job quickly and neatly, he would let me do it so that I would learn, so I would become more efficient. God does the same thing. He's put you here to love people. He's put you here to love the people around you. And sometimes he'll love them, but he'll let you love them, that you might learn to be more efficient, more effective in your loving. I close with this passage of scripture. It's in 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 through 24. It says, 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 through 24, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. To love you as you love others. Father, thank you for permitting us to gather together this morning. We ask that in this week to come that we will glorify you. We will do the things that you would have us to do. Father, help us to love others for you. Help us to show our love for others. Help us to show our love for you. And we will praise you, Father, for all that you do, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.